thankful today for salvation, the mercy of God, and His faithfulness to me
and to all of us. I'm glad everyone is here. It's here.
We often say that our most honored guest is the Lord. And when we preach the Word of God, what does the Scripture say about the Word? It was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we apply it to our lives individually and collectively. And what we're really applying to our life is the Spirit and the principle of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like for you to turn with us to... let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Luke, the 18th chapter. I want to start at Luke, the 18th chapter. And I want to start at the 9th verse, and I want to read this. We want to talk today about motivation and what motivates us to do what we do. Motivation is not just a simple process. It's not just something that is simple. It's a very complex thing. And sometimes we don't understand our own motivation. Sometimes it's not as conscious to us until someone brings it to our mind as to why we're doing what we're doing. And sometimes the Lord brings it to our mind. Sometimes we don't have any understanding that what is driving me to do this particular thing, and the Lord brings it to our understanding that there is something that's not completely pure about our motivation. And at that particular time, what our responsibility is to do, it is for us to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us. Let's read this. This is an example here. Luke, the 18th chapter, 9th verse.
And
he spake a parable.
Unto certain which trusted in themselves,
that they were righteous and they despised others. So this is a parable that the Lord is talking about to people that trust in themselves. They don't realize necessarily that they're doing it, but he's bringing out the understanding of what's causing you to do what you're doing. All right?
Two men
went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God. Now, notice that he prayed thus with himself. He prayed to himself. All right? But he's talking to God. God, I thank thee. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now let's look at the facts here. The fact is that both of them were in the temple. They both went to church. And one of them was a person that was considered a very religious person and a person that kept the law. So this man, they went to church and they prayed. Now, I don't know necessarily if there were a lot of people that are around them, but I would imagine that with the Pharisee that there were folks that were watching him. And there were folks that knew what he was doing. And he made it known, not only to the people of what he was doing, but he made it known to God what he was doing. So here he said... Two men went up into the temple to pray. So they went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. A publican, just a man that did not have any kind of, he knew that he wasn't a right man. He knew what his motives were. But here is, they're doing the same thing, the same act, in the same place. But the Lord is listening and hearing one of those men as opposed to the other. And why was it that God gives attention to the publican? Was because the publican was a man, and he didn't say all of these things that the Pharisee said. And here what the Pharisee said, he stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. That's a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing that he's talking about. He's not an extortioner. Who likes an extortioner? Who wants somebody to extort their money or whatever it may be? I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an unjust adulterer. Or even as this publican. For I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And that, all the things that this man was explaining to God, first of all, God knew it. God understood what this man did, and he knew all about what this man did. But when we see that the Lord is putting it in a parable, these are the words of Jesus. He said, I'm not looking at the outward appearance. I'm not looking at the fact that he's not an extortioner, but he may be something else that he's covering up. He's a very proud man. And God here, the Lord here is saying here, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that exalts himself shall be abased. So the Lord doesn't see as man sees. The Lord has the ability to penetrate to the very core of our heart and see things that I can't see about myself. The Lord has the ability to penetrate down to the very core of your heart and see things about you that you didn't even know were there. Now, I don't know if this is a parable here, but I know the reason he brings out this parable is because that there are those kinds of people that do those kinds of things. And so the Lord is saying to him, I'm looking at the motivation of your heart. That's what I'm most concerned about. And what the Lord is most concerned about with you is what is motivating you to do what you're doing, not what you're doing. Now, it's a good thing that this man is not an extortioner. He's not unjust. He does everything like he's supposed to do for the most part. He tithes. He does all of these things. None of those things are things that the Lord would tell him not to do. As a matter of fact, all of those things are things that the Lord desires us to do, but he, again, I want us to look today at the complexity of the motivation of this man's heart. His desire was to be seen by men. The other man's desire was to be seen by God. Lord, you know who I am. You know all of it. I don't have to enumerate my sins. I don't have to enumerate all the things that I've done. But Lord, I came up here to this church. I came up here to this temple because I need some help in my soul. And that's what's motivating me to pray to you, Lord, have mercy. I'm not even going to look up. I'm not worthy of that. I'm not even going to look up. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Lord heard his prayer because of the motivation of his heart. His heart, the motivation was pure. And in the same way, the Lord is concerned today about what motivates you to do the things that you do. And some of the things, if we just examine it and the Lord didn't just put it in the light, we would say that this man, this Pharisee, was a pretty good man, wasn't he? But the Lord looks at the heart. And this is why we can't say, you know, we have a whole lot of folks that call themselves Christian, but why really are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian today? Is it because it's popular? Is it because, you know what, I believe this with all of my heart. We look at some of the politicians and they go to church, especially when it's campaign season. Why do they go to church? And during the other times they don't go to church at all. Well, they don't have time, whatever it may be. But when there's a campaign going on, you need to go to church because that's where your voters are. And what is the motivation? Is it the motivation? Is it for you to have this close relationship with the Lord? No, it's not. So the Lord looks at that motivation as well. Let's go to another. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let's start at the first verse. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed. Now he said, take heed that you do not do alms before men. So, in other words, you're giving, you know. Take heed that you do not do alms before men to be seen of them.
Otherwise,
you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. So here we have, is there anything wrong with giving? Today we gave to the church. We gave to the Lord, really is what we do. When we have an offering here, the Pharisee was talking about tithing. When we have an offering here, what do we do? We have an offering, we put offering plates out, and we come and we give money. Why do we do that? What is our purpose for doing it? One of the reasons that we do it is because this is what the Bible requires of us, isn't it? This is how, if the Lord has given us good things, then we give back to the Lord, the things that belong to Him. This building, in order for us to sit comfortably in it, somebody's got to pay for it, right? Somebody has to maintain it. Somebody has to pay the electricity bill. And so we willingly come and give so that in return what we're doing, when we give to the Lord, we're really just giving back to ourselves. It's not that we're giving, and it's just such a sacrifice for me to do it. No, it is that I'm doing it as unto the Lord, because the Lord requires it of me, and the Lord, and I love the Lord, and I want to do this. And so he says, but when you do it, don't sound it up. Y'all, I got a few hundred dollar bills, and I'm going to fan them out, and I'm going to let everybody see them as I bring them up here and lay them down. Is that how we do it? No. Why is that wrong? Would it be anything wrong with you giving that amount of money? No. You give $1 million. You give how much ever the Lord lays on your heart, but you need to make certain that your motivation for doing it is the proper motivation. Or else what you're wanting to be seen of men. This is what he's saying here. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. Apparently folks were doing that. Apparently people do it today. Apparently people want you to know what they're doing for the Lord. And you know what the Lord is saying? I don't want you to show everybody what you're doing for me. I just want you to do it for me. I want you to do it in secret, and I'll reward you openly. And so the Lord wants us to look at our motivation. You know, sometimes when you get sick, I've known of people that have gotten sick, and they want everybody to know that they get sick. And they want to know, and sometimes I've seen, and you know, it's nothing wrong with you, because if I get sick, I want everybody to know it. And you know why I want you to know it? Because I want you to be praying for me. I want you to be praying for me but I don't want it to be, oh, woe is me, oh, bring me some soup and would you feed me with us? I don't want that kind of, why do we do that? We do it to be seen and known of men, and oh, he's going to do so much travail. You know, I know it may be that way. Maybe it'll come to that or whatnot, but I need to look at my motive, what's motivating me to do the things that I'm doing. Lord, help us. What's motivating you to do the things that you're doing? For the Lord, even. All right, I want to read a little further. Let's go down to the 5th verse. Continue reading, please.
And
when thou prayest, not be as the hypocrites are.
They love to pray standing
in the synagogues, in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. All right, that's good enough. So, in other words, he's saying, when you do these things, and so I believe this lesson today for us is, let's do it as unto the Lord. It's not as unto men. And when our motivation, when we want somebody to see what we're doing and how difficult the problems that we're going through, and that's the purpose of us doing it, then there is something that is not pure about our motivation. And so the Lord wants us not to stop doing it, but he wants us to come, not to stop praying, not to stop giving, and not to stop coming to the temple, you might say. That's not what he's saying. He's saying he wants you to readjust and to find a place of prayer and say, Lord, take the pride out of my heart, so that the motivation, the reason that I'm doing the things that I'm doing is not as unto men, but it's as unto God. You know, one of the things that you'll get in trouble with is a lot of people, I don't believe that they clearly understand their motivation for doing the things that they are doing. I often say that the reason that you are saved should not be because this is something that was passed down by your mom and by your dad. Now, it's nothing wrong with it being passed down by your parents, because what I'm endeavoring to do, they passed it to me, but I began to look at it, and if I did it just because that's what they wanted me to do and I was pleasing them, there'd be something wrong with my motivation for living for the Lord. There'd be something wrong with my motivation for standing for what I believe and know is the truth of God's Word. I'm doing it simply because this is what was handed to me, and I'm supposed to be faithful to carry it on. That's not good enough. There is something impure about that. So what we must do is say, Lord, I got saved, yes, because it was passed down, or maybe I even got, why did you get saved? Why did you get saved? Didn't want to go to hell. Is that a good motivator? Absolutely. That's one of the best of motivators. If you believe that there is a hell, it will motivate you to live right today. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that motivation. Most of us probably, to some degree, and I believe God understands this. This is why there are some people that go toward that which is good and go away from that which is bad. Alright? And some people are greater motivated by that which I'm motivated. I don't want to go to hell. It wasn't so much that you wanted to go to heaven. You get that? It's not so much that I wanted to go to heaven as I wanted to miss hell. And you know what? What is it? The Lord allows that kind of thing to happen to us. You know what? We think as we were children, we got whippings, didn't we? And we got some. My parents, I don't know, my parents probably today, y'all could call CPS on them. And they take all us out of the home. The way that these things are now today. When they would whip us, and to me, it would almost be abusive. Of course, I was a little child that way. But when I got my own children, you know what? I had to rel with my mother. Oh, you don't have to whip them so much. The way you whip me. And you're saying that I haven't even gotten to the second act. They seem like they would catch their breath and start all over again. We know it. We know about that, don't we? And so here we have. We find out that now I'm doing the same thing for my children that my parents did to me. And you know, and what we found out is that there is something about correction or taking that strap and whipping that child that curbs their behavior. It motivates them. And so now they're in a situation where they've got to make a decision. And they remember, the last time I made that kind of decision, I got a whipping, and it hurt.
Right.
And so now, I don't want to make that decision again. So it begins to adjust their behavior. So the motivation is, I'm going to get a whipping, so I ain't going to, y'all going to do what y'all want to do, but I'm not going to do that, because mama and daddy, they're going to whip me if I do that. So I'm not going to do it. So the Lord understands that. We understand that. We understand the behavior. And so this is why I'm all for whipping children. I'm all for it. I'm all for giving you. Yeah, I say that all the time, don't I? Yeah. Children don't like it, but parents, y'all thank me for it in a little bit. A few years, y'all thank me for it. Children, you'll thank me for it. But anyway, it curbs our appetite, but our behavior, I mean. It curbs our behavior, and we do that which we know is right. And so in the same way, the Lord does the same thing. He corrects us sometimes. This is a correction, and it changes. His chastisement changes our behavior, and it adjusts our motivation. Sometimes the Lord helps us to see through the things that we're going through, the tests and trials that we go through on a day-to-day basis. It's not just that He wants to inflict pain on us. That's not the purpose. That's not His motivation. His motivation is that He can see that there is an adjustment that needs to be made in your behavior. There is something impure about the way that you're thinking about this, the way that you're doing this. There's something impure about it. So therefore, we want to make this adjustment. So He has to put you in the situations and circumstances that change your behavior. Chastisement. All right? So, we say, it is not that I just want to go to heaven. It is that I want to miss hell. That was the first. Would you say that is probably one of the biggest motivators of all of us, the initial motivator? Would you say that? How many would say that? How many would say that would be the major motivator? So a good majority would say that would be the major motivator, but something happens in the in between that time. It's not so much that I want to miss hell. I still want to miss hell. But you know what? The more the Lord opens up our understanding, my motivation is, you know what? There is Jesus, and there's all these wonderful things that He's done for me and how He's changed my life and all this. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him as He is. And so that becomes my motivator, because You love me so much, Lord. And the reason I love You is because You love me. And now my motivation is, I've got to get to heaven so that I can see what Jesus looks like.
Yeah.
I want to go to heaven now. That's the major motivation. I've gotten so, you know how we sing that song, I can see far down the mountain. I can look. We can look up here. We're on the summit up here, and we can look way down from where we came from. And I realize the initial motivator is still there. I don't want to fall back down there. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back on the Lord, because I want to go to heaven. I want to see what Jesus looks like. And He's been so good to me. So now this motivates me. All right, let's go to another scripture. Acts 9 and 5. Let's just start probably at the first verse of Acts. Let's get the whole picture here. This is Paul on his... Yes.
Saul
is breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. Went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether these were men or women, we might bring them bound into the Jerusalem. So what is Saul? Saul is a Pharisee. He's a religious man. He's not a man that's not of, has no religious background. All right. So he's talking about here to the saints of God, the people that have turned to Christ. All right. And he wants to destroy them. And he said, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. All right, I want us to turn in conjunction with that, and we'll deal with both of these scriptures. Here's another explanation that Paul is explaining it to him in the 26th chapter, 10th verse. Let's read that. I want to read it together for a reason here. Let's start at about the 10th verse, 26 and 10. Yes. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them off in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. Why do you suppose Paul was motivated to do this? Paul was a man, and if you go and he gives his own biography, and he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel, he knew the law, he was more zealous of it than many folks. But this man here is giving his testimony in how he made many to blaspheme, how he turned people against the Lord. What motivated him to do that? There was a motivation. You know, sometimes people's motivation is that they don't want to do what they know is right. And maybe it's so complex that they don't understand it. They know this is right, but they don't want to do it. And so what is it that they do? They work hard to discredit it, don't they? They fight against it. They put all of their efforts and all of their time against it to bring as many people down in whatever it is, simply because there is something, there is a level of dishonesty in them that they don't want to do what they know the Lord is requiring of them. So they make it wrong. They make all, here's what Paul is doing. He made it all them all wrong. But you know what the Lord said to Paul? He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What does that mean? That means he was dealing with them. All right, what else does it mean? He knew. Deep down in his heart, if he'd gotten in the dark of the night, he got in his closet somewhere and said, why am I having these kinds of feelings when I do this to these people? If he'd have been honest with himself, he'd have stopped it a long time ago. He saw Stephen. He saw Stephen being stoned, and he knew that there was something different about this man. That he's talking about seeing the heavens open, and here he is. All the coats of the folks that were throwing the rocks at Stephen were laid at Saul's feet. The Lord talked to Saul, and the Lord knew the motivation of Saul's heart. He said, Saul, you know what's right. You know that this is right. Stop trying to make it wrong. Stop trying to find all these things. Well, if it was so right, well, why did they blaspheme? Why did they give up? Well, you put so much pressure on them. And maybe they were a baby. I don't know the answer to that. But the answer that I know is that the Lord knew that Paul knew what was right. When folks start making things wrong, the more they make it wrong, you watch out for them. Because those are the people that the Lord that's kicking against something. Now, who am I? Am I? Oh, Brother Darrell, there you go. Judging folks. You judging people. It has been my experience. And I'm not judging people. It is human nature that there is a reason that you try to make something wrong that you know is right. There's a reason. Now, I've often said it. I'm going to say it again. Because I believe it's something that needs to be reiterated. We have to make it right. Whatever is wrong, we have to make it right in our minds to be able to motivate us to do it. Now, you know what I mean by that? I know it's not. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but. And that but justifies my actions. My motivation, I know my motivation is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. So there is something about the psyche of man that we have to make. This is why folks are saying all the time that they're atheists. They are not atheists. How can you be an atheist when you see the trees and you see that God, the sun and the moon? How can you believe that there is not a God? So you have to make, because maybe you were hurt. Maybe somebody said something that was supposed to be a Christian. Do you know that part of the thing that the devil used is Christians against people that don't know the Lord? When you see a Christian that calls himself a Christian and you know he knows that he's not living right, what's the difference between me going out, a preacher going out and partying, and a sinner going out and partying? What's the difference in somebody that sings in the choir going out and doing drugs or having a drink just a social drink? It's nothing wrong with that, Brother Darrell. See, Jesus turned the water into wine, but he didn't turn it into gin, a vodka. He turned it into wine. And so we want to justify the things that we're doing when we know that it's wrong. We know it's wrong. And the Lord is going to deal with our motivation. He said it's hard for you to get kick against the pricks. You know that I've been dealing with you. You know that what I've showed you in front of these people, you know that it's right and you just don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. Just be honest with yourself. Lord, I'm not ready to do that yet. Don't go around making it wrong. Lord, help us. Now, continue to read. This is what the scripture is talking about. Read, please.
Well, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest.
Yes.
At midday, O king,
I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now he's talking about, why are you persecuting me? That's interesting, isn't it? And it says,
it is hard for thee
to kick against the pricks.
And I said,
who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, he didn't even know this Jesus. He said, who are you? But you know, I wonder if Paul didn't know deep down in his heart who he really was. But I think he needed a clarification here. Who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. And then it all clicks in his mind. Because, you know, when folks belittle you, they're not belittling you. You know why the folks don't like you sometimes? It's not that they don't like you, and the Lord had to teach me this. Because sometimes we believe in our heart that we want everybody to like us. There are some of us that are worse than others. Some don't care if you like them or not. They could care less. And then some have, and there's nothing wrong with that in essence. And then there are some who have the personality that want everybody to be their friend, and there's nothing wrong with that. The Lord has to balance both of them out. And so here we have this, where these individuals, where Paul, Lord help me. Why persecutest thou me? It's hard to kick against the pricks. It was a point that I was wanting to make. It slipped my mind. It'll come back. All right. So here, what we have to understand. This is what we have to understand. We have to understand our motives. And we have to understand why we do the things that we do. And the Lord wants us to clearly understand why we do what we do. So He deals with our hearts. He pricks us. When there's something that He wants us to adjust in our behavior, He motivates us by talking to us, by visiting with us. Maybe He talks to us through a friend. Maybe He talks to us through His scriptures. Maybe He talks to us through the ministry. There are often times that the Lord opens up our understanding when we hear preaching. This is the whole purpose of preaching, is to open up our understanding. Lord, I want to know what it is that You would have me to do. All right, so He said, did we finish reading that? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So He knew Jesus, but he never knew Him. So when you fight against God's people, you're fighting against God. When you persecute, this is why you got to be careful. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Because when you persecute God's people, He said, Jesus didn't say, those people over in Jerusalem that you're trying to get and bring down there, those are those people in Damascus that you're going to get, those are My people. That isn't what He said. Jesus took it very personal. He said, you are persecuting Me. And I'm taking it very personal to appeal to you. So in essence, do you realize that the Lord will appeal to you and to me, to all of us, and He'll say, I am the one that you're talking about. You're not talking about them folks over there on Riley Crest and 635. You're talking about Me.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because them little folks, it may not be just a handful of them, but those folks are endeavoring by the grace of God to the level that they understand. And I don't believe you can find anybody else in the city, in the Metroplex, that are any more dedicated to it than we are. So don't talk about us too much, too hard. Who am I talking to? Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. All right. Rise and stand on thy feet.
For I have appeared
unto thee
for this purpose,
to make thee a minister. Yes.
And of
the things of which I will appear unto thee.
Delivering
thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance
among them.
Now this is what I want to ask. Do you suppose God has motivation? Yes. His motivation, for what is it? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. What was the motivation for Him giving His life? Love. It was His motivation. What is our motivation for living for the Lord? It is our love for Him. So He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So this motivation was His love that He has for you and I. So He so loved us that He gave Himself for us. We so love Him that we give ourselves to Him. And so the Lord wants us to look at the way that we do things and why we do the things, not just the thing that we do, because on the outside we can say it's nothing wrong with it, it's a good thing that you're doing, but it's not pure. The motive is not pure. I want to turn to a couple other scriptures here, moving toward did we get down to the 19th? Okay. He was not disobedient
unto the heavenly vision. He saw the vision of the Lord and he wasn't disobedient. You know that when we see the Lord, it is our responsibility not to disobey.
Amen.
That vision. The Lord will appear to all of us. And at that time, it's like our Damascus, on the road to Damascus moment, the Lord appears to us
And it's at that time that he begins to change our behavior, and we decide, we make the choice that I'm going to live for the Lord from this point forward. Or I'm not. Paul did not have to do it. He wasn't forced to do it. We aren't forced to do it. Lord, help us. All right, I want to read another scripture, Romans, the first chapter, 25th verse. Change the truth of God into a lie. Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Do you know that this is what we're doing nowadays? We're worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. What is a creature? Something that was created. What is a creator? The one that created the creature. All right, so in other words, we have this idolization of the individual. We are so consumed with, and I've had people say, you know what, my needs aren't being met. Maybe in a relationship, maybe in a church setting. I've had people say those kinds of things. But I wonder, is it that you're fulfilling the needs of someone else? And we're so consumed in our generation, in our culture, we're so consumed, we become our own idols. I want to be happy. And as a result of me wanting to be happy, you know what? If that means I have to get a divorce in order to be happy, then I'm going to just do that. Lord, help us. It used to be that we were not so concerned. That's not how the Lord doesn't teach that. He doesn't teach us that it's all about me, me, me. You know, one place in the scriptures, we won't turn to it. One place in the scriptures, the disciples was concerned. We're talking to the Lord, who should be talking among themselves, who should be chiefest. One wanted to sit on the right hand, one wanted to sit on the left hand. The Lord asked, what were y'all talking about? What were y'all discussing back there? And they wouldn't tell him. And you suppose you knew why they wouldn't tell him? Because they knew the motivation of it wasn't right. When the Lord said, what were y'all talking about? Then have you ever talked some things in your own mind, and then when somebody asked you when you got it outside of your mind and out of your lips, you saw how silly it sounded? You thought, well, you know, maybe I need to say that out loud to myself before I say it to you. So we don't say those things to each other. But the Lord knew what those people were thinking. So what did he do? He said, you that would be greatest must be what? Servant of all. Do you know, if you learn how to serve properly, Lord, help us. Lord, I have to teach all of us this. You learn how to serve properly and you say, Lord, my motive is not for me to be happy, but my motive is to be in the center of your will in this thing. And in the center of your will, do you realize that sometimes in the center of God's will is not where you, it's not doing something that you would have normally chosen to do, but it is what brings you the greatest pleasure, not because of the things that you may not want to do, but it's because you know that you're pleasing the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? All right, finish reading, please. He gave him up to vile affection. Okay, that's good enough, because really what I wanted to do, I wanted to bring out the point that they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. We are creating a culture in which the individual has become the center of our worship. How many times, go on Yahoo, or just go on the computer, and the first thing you're going to see something about Kim Kardashian, or Angelina Jolie, or some movie star. Who are they? Nobody. But we have exalted, beautiful, and we've exalted this. Some movie star, some athlete, somebody that has excelled in something. We worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. So let me say, in a couple of weeks, what are we going to have? The Super Bowl. Let me tell you, folks ain't going to go to church because of the Super Bowl. Most of the folks here are women. And I know these men ain't going to stay home watching no Super Bowl. Lord, help us. We have worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Lord, have mercy on us. All right. So, believe what the Lord wants us to do. We'll stop there. What the Lord wants us to do. Oh, yeah. Yep. Let me tell y'all something. The devil is more and more bold than he used to be. And you know what, saints, like my mother used to say, she said, you know what, if the world is getting worse and worse, we're going to have to get better and better.
Right.
It's not going to get easier for us.
Yes.
It's going to be that we're going to have to get deeper in God in order just to maintain. Because what's happening is some folks are giving up because of what the world is doing. Their motivation is that they want to please the world more than they want to please God. And so, and what they do and what they say and how they respond and whether or not they do what they know is right, they adjust and make things what they know is right wrong in order to not do it. And so, Lord, help us. If you don't remember anything else I said in this discourse, Lord, I want to say, guard your motivation.
Amen.
Ask the Lord to search me, O Lord. Know what's in my heart. You look at the inside, Lord, and I'm looking at just my actions, and everybody else in this church may be saying, oh, that's Sister so-and-so, or Brother so-and-so is such a wonderful, but you know my actions. You know my motivation, Lord. And Lord, what I want you to do is to pinpoint to me. You don't have to tell it to everybody else. But I want you to pinpoint to me for myself my motives for doing the things that I do. I want to have pure, clean motives that I'm doing it not because of what the world is saying, but because of what you would have me to do. I'm doing it because this is what you would have me to do. Pray for me.